The video game industry is a young one. Most of the designers behind the video games, at least, maybe not the businessmen, like you don't see Howard Lincoln, most of the designers, at least, are still alive. Miyamoto, still alive. Will Wright, still alive. Still working, in fact. And that's what makes losing one of these founders of the industry, one of these luminaries, so hard. That is why it's so sad to see Paul Steed pass away. Paul Steed passed away on August 11, 2012. He worked as an artist and modeler for companies such as Origin Systems, Electronic Arts, id Software, Wild Tangent, Microsoft, Atari, and Exigent. He wrote 3 books about 3D modeling, as he was a modeler and artist, and he gave talks at various game developer conferences such as GDC, which is the game developer conference. He contributed quite a bit to video games. He was also controversial. You know, he was one of those personalities that was a little too big, very, very outspoken. The picture I found of him that I used in my blog post on memorializing him in a few paragraphs was smoking a cigar, which it just has some inherent kind of importance to it. He was flamboyant in what he did. He was fired by John Romero, and being fired by John Romero, you have to do something, A, to piss him off, or B, that he has to fire you, because John Romero is not the most conservative in acting kind of guy. And so if you get fired by John Romero, that's saying something. But, of course, it is sad to see him go. And the following is a clip from the Jace Hall show where he spoke for a few seconds about breast modeling physics, which, I don't know, I guess is the best memorializing of him we can have.
Really big,
oh yeah, I mean, I spent a long time on the breast physics, because back then we didn't have, like, you know, IK controllers and Macs, so I had to, like, physically, you know. So I went to a bar and drank a couple Guinness and had the waitress kind of bounce around a little bit, and but that's what people had a problem with. It was kind of like a little bit over the top.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Armchair Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Braden Fox, and this was recorded partially on August 25th, 2012. You know, summer is winding down, and we're kind of escaping this lull of a lack of games. You're starting to see more games coming out again. We're seeing Darksiders 2 and Sleeping Dogs, which I have not played yet. I am looking at Sleeping Dogs, honestly, because of its relation to the canceled True Crime Hong Kong game, which I really wanted to play. But if this is built off of the ashes of that, I will have to play Sleeping Dogs. Anyway, you know, the summer's winding down, and we're getting ready for the winter. So, I mean, it's time to go back inside, time to stop mowing your lawn every Saturday, time to, you know, sit back down in front of the TV and play some video games. And, you know, I am really excited to get back into the swing of things, maybe finish up, well, not finish up, but get deeper into Skyrim. I haven't played that in a few months, or, I don't know, get the new episodes of The Walking Dead, or maybe pick up Sleeping Dogs, you know? It's just time to get back into games again. And I have been playing games, and I will be talking about those games, or rather, one game in particular in the second segment of the show with Nick, The Walking Dead, but I'll save that for later, because we waxed long about that game, and I wouldn't want to spoil our conversation. Anyway, you know, it's just good to be back in the swing of things. And I had a good summer, I hope you did. And I am excited to see the games that come out. It won't be as dense as last year, where every game you can think of was coming out, and we won't see Bioshock Infinite, which is too bad this year. But I am still excited. It's kind of funny, actually. I don't know what's coming out this year. Like, there's so much hoopla about changes and releases and all that, that I'm basically just going to be blindsided by games coming out. And case in point, I did not even know Sleeping Dogs was coming out this year, and let alone this week, as it did. So, you know, it's just kind of funny how the year is so different compared to last year, where everything you knew when it was coming out, you knew what it was, you knew what people were saying about it, what you were going to think about it. Batman, you know, you had Batman, Arkham City, you had Skyrim, you had all these big titles coming out. And this year, it's kind of, I mean, we're still seeing a lot of stuff, a lot of really interesting stuff, but it's, the focus is different. And I think that, it's being reflected. You know, I'm playing a lot of downloadable games, a lot of PSN games. That's basically what I've been talking about for the last couple of months. You know, last episode I talked about I Am Alive and games like that. This episode was The Walking Dead. So, you know, it's just kind of a different year, and I'm really looking forward to it. I hope you enjoy this episode. Before we get to the conversation with Nick about The Walking Dead, just some, notes about the blog and the podcast. Since, the start of this year, I've been refocusing the blog and the podcast. It's changed format, the podcast, and the blog is also changing. I'm trying to be more consistent in writing. And what I don't mean is that every week there's an essay up, because I don't play enough games and I don't have enough time to write about the games I do play to do that. But what I am trying to do is always have something interesting on the blog. Every time you look at it, if you look at it like one or two times a week, you will see something different. And the way I'm doing that is I have a sidebar on the blog, and by the way, the blog is thearmchairnerd.blogspot.com. Anyway, there's a sidebar on the blog, and it has articles that matter. Articles that matter is basically where I compile a list of articles I found online that are interesting about games or something else. Right now there's about 10, and I have an archive building up because I only put 7 up on the sidebar at a time. But there is a link in the sidebar that says the archive where you can get all the posts I've rounded up. And basically the reason I'm doing this is just to have something for you to chew on, you know. I can't always write my commentary about an article on the blog. Sometimes, you know, I just have to do this instead. And just put it out there. If you want to see it, just go to the blog, check, follow the blog, and just kind of see what goes up there, you know. Anyway, I've also been writing more, as I said before, and there's a few posts up there. There's one about The Walking Dead, which is relevant to the discussion I will be playing later. And there's also some posts about articles I read about Beyond Good and Evil, which I decided I won't talk about in this, just because I think the conversation about Beyond Good and Evil is pretty well known. I don't think I need to talk about it here, but you can read my post and see it there. If you like this feature, the Articles That Matter sidebar, just send me an email. Tell me what you like about it. armchairnerd@gmail.com. Thank you. To talk about it these days. A lot of the games I play are forgettable, and the ones I play that aren't forgettable, I can't necessarily recommend. However, Telltale Games has taken the challenge of adapting The Walking Dead graphic novel into a game with graphic novels. Novellas? Maybe. You could call them that, possibly. I don't know. Anyway, and despite their problems with other licensed games in the past, Jurassic Park, The Walking Dead has been doing a good, Telltale has been doing a good job with The Walking Dead, and that little, girlish, giggle that you just heard was from Nick, our old pal at the fourth floor, and, Alcoholics Anonymous, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that's where it came from. He's here, all sobered up for lunch. Because...
Especially on this show. This is, like, the first time ever on this show.
Yeah. I mean, usually he's just blatantly and very loudly proclaiming his drunkenness.
And my love for peeing on your mom.
Yes, this is... I will not contest that. And I will not cut it out, because then I have to cut this out, too. And that's just too much work. So, he's here to talk about The Walking Dead game. It came out April something?
23rd.
Yeah, 23rd. I actually, before we started recording, I spent quite a lot of time hunting that down, just not even say half of it. Just because I like to be annoying like that. So, I guess, there's a lot of places we could start, and I think that the place that we should start when we discuss this game is with the decisions, because that's kind of what everyone wants to talk about. And there's other things to talk about in this game, certainly, but I think the decisions you have to make is a good place to start. So I guess a little prerequisite to this conversation would be, are we going to spoil anything or not? Do you
It's kind of hard not to talk about some of the decisions without spoiling stuff, but I can...
Yes. When I sat down to write about this game, which I did last week, and I hoped that it was good, what I wrote, I don't know, maybe it wasn't. Anyway, when I sat down to write about this game, I kind of just decided that I was going to talk rather openly about what happens in the game. And so I will preface this, this conversation with saying that if you have not played The Walking Dead episodes 1 and 2, yes, 1 and 2, that you should play them before we do this conversation. Odds are, by the time I get this up, episode 3 will be out, because we've been waiting for over a month, I would assume, for episode 3, and so it could come out any day now, and it literally should. But, so I guess, what about the decisions in this game? Have you seen that sets it apart from other games that... decisions are toted as something that matters, and...
Well, the first aspect of the decision-making process is that they actually have weight to the actual... Like, it feels like they have weight. I don't necessarily know if they have any more or less weight than what BioWare has done with Mass Effect or anything like that, because that's what it always gets compared to. Because, you know, let's compare a game with choices to another game with choices.
You know why we can't do that?
Why?
Because The Walking Dead is not an awful, atrocious game.
Yeah. But, I mean, you do get what I'm saying. That
yes.
You have to they actually have... They carry weight. And it's kind of weird to see how those choices play out from one episode to the next. Because it's such a seamless transition of decisions that you don't really actually realize it until you've played it. Until you've played the second episode. Because I remember playing the first episode and I let people die and I was like, well, great. And then you don't actually see it. I think the thing that cued me into it was when they did the trailer for Coming Up Next and those people were still dead.
Yeah, Just to say, yes, if you still haven't turned it off, spoiler about to happen. Nick, who did you let die?
I let the reporter die because she knew my secret about me being a killer.
I actually, not to put myself on a moral pedestal or anything like that, I let her die not because of that. I was consciously aware of that later. Well, I said, oh yeah, she knew my secret. But literally, because I could not get my character over there, I didn't know what was going on. Like, I don't know what I was doing wrong. So I just saved the other guy. My moral decision came down to me being unable to play the game correctly. And I don't know what that says about me as a player. That only happened once, of course. And I understood the game at that point. I understood how to play the game. I don't know. Just something was wrong. Maybe it's my controller. I don't know.
That kind of sounds kind of funny and like almost like it actually fits in with the game itself based on what's happening during that scene, because that's when you're getting like the whole pharmacy is being overrun by zombies. So you actually losing control is almost like
Walters. Continue.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, is that just sidebar conversation? Is that like a rule with zombie fiction that you can't call them zombies because saying that would give some sort of like breaking the fourth wall or something? Like, I don't understand that. Why can't you just call them zombies?
You know, I don't really understand that either, because they're not even called zombies in like Resident Evil.
Yeah, are they like infected, like Lost Plagas or whatever?
Yeah, it's really bizarre. And now even if you'll notice it in movies, they'll be like, don't say the Z word. It's like. But
have you listened to the podcast We're Alive? Probably not.
No.
Well, it's kind of a radio drama thing, and in one scene, this kid tries to call them zombies, and the main character is like, don't call them that. It's like, why? It's like, I don't know. And it was just kind of, I don't know if it was out of respect, or just they couldn't justify their own writing in that instance, so they just wanted to make it some sort of emotional connection, I don't know. But that's just kind of a sidebar. Anyway, you were saying that my inability to control the game was somehow linked to what was happening in the game?
Well, I mean, it's a very chaotic scene in the game at that point, where you got the walkers coming in, and it's almost like a panic situation, so it actually would make sense in a situation like that that you would help the person you could rather than the person you chose to help.
Also, in real life, I do not control myself through a series of button presses, so
yeah.
They would not jam up. But I was actually trying to save the reporter, and I could not. But was there another life or death choice? I can't remember in episode 1.
Not too sure. I don't really remember.
There was the scene with the suicidal woman, but
yeah,
whether or not you chose to give her the gun was irrelevant. She would die either way.
Yeah, I gave her the gun.
I actually didn't. And there's actually a really great scene later on when you're in the pharmacy where the hat guy. I think he was in the comics actually. The guy with the hat, whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was just kind of like a fur fan kind of thing. But anyway, he kind of was like, he asked you, why didn't you give her the gun? And I chose the response of, like, would you have? And it was kind of like, then you know why. And I loved that. Like, I love a lot of the dialogue just works really well in the game. It kind of helps you, like, the choices you make in the dialogue, they feel like if you choose something, the way he delivers it might be slightly different, but it doesn't feel like he changed what you were saying.
Right, and the best part about the dialogue system is that you have a time limit.
Yeah, and sometimes I will admit that still feels a little unnatural, like the amount of spaces, but it's better than Mass Effect, maybe I'm just being wrong here, but is there a time system on the dialogue options?
No, not in Mass Effect.
Oh, I was...
In Mass Effect, you can literally sit there and figure out exactly what you need to say in that situation to get what you want by going onto some FAQ online or something.
Oh, yeah, that, I will say that just, I don't know, like, the game, I wrote about it sometime. I'll probably link to that maybe if I feel like it. I don't know, what am I saying? I won't remember. But, I said it when I wrote about it that the game lets you own your decisions. And, you know, you don't have to look back. Part of the source material of The Walking Dead is just this idea that there aren't really right decisions or wrong decisions. There's nothing, at the end of episode 2, and this is kind of a future in the spoiler, but I was in the 30th percentile of people that actually killed the lady's dad. I actually did kill him, and I felt awful about it, but
I killed him too.
Yeah, it was actually interesting. Telltale at some point said that they wanted 50-50 on all the choices, and like that's what they're shooting for. As if to say that there is no right choice that people decided. So yeah, I looked at it, it was like 33% or something.
Yeah,
chose to kill him, and I was in that, and I was like, oh. I guess I'm awful, but I mean, I'm not awful. I am more pacifistic than a lot of people that would play a Walking Dead game in my steps.
And that decision, again, was made on the idea that he knew who I was.
Well, I made the decision on this guy could be dead, and if he is dead, I'm not going to take the chances. And it's also kind of because he's a douche, so.
Yeah, he was always a douche.
Yeah, hate that guy. Well, I mean, you kind of saw specs of it when you, not being a douche, but it was, even when you gave him food, which I did, he was still kind of like, oh, thanks, I guess.
There's been, outside of, like, the people who have died, is there a character that you're still, like, waiting to see die?
What do you mean?
Like, do you just wish they would die? Like, a character you just wish would die?
Honestly, no. Once upon a time, it might have been the daughter of that guy that I killed, but after I killed him, I'm kind of like, okay, I think I've already messed up this family enough. Like,
see, I don't know what it says about me, but as soon as I got the option not to save Ducky, I tried not to save Ducky.
I saved him. Like in the episode 1, where they...
Yeah, because he annoyed me. He was always sounding like an idiot, and I was just like, oh my god, this kid's just gonna slow us down.
Well, what I figured was that, since you're gonna be with that guy, what's his name?
Not Larry.
I should have known this, but I'm not good with names, so...
Neither am I.
The guy, whatever his name is, you're gonna be with him for a while, and of course, if you play the game, you already know who we're talking about, so...
Yeah.
It's not like... So, yeah, I knew I was going to be with him for a while, and I knew I was going to leave that farm, because it just seemed obvious the story had to progress past that point. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll save him before Sean.
Oh, that's right, you get to shave. Yeah, Sean is the other one you get to choose whether they live or die.
Yeah.
But you don't really get the choice, because I tried to save Sean and still failed.
Yeah, I feel like that's also something that they did that's kind of, like, ballsy, I guess. Or it's like... Also, like, in real life, sometimes, your choice is really... Like, I hate this idea that you have to have all power in a game over what happens. Like, your choices always have to matter. Like, sometimes your choices are inconsequential to what actually happens in real life.
Yeah, and they do actually a decent job of portraying that at some points. Because you do... Like, you only really get, like, a hint that you made an important story choice when they say... Blah, 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 we'll remember that.
Well, I actually turned that off.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
Turn that off, they actually tell you what choices you made that were important.
Yeah, when I played the demo, I saw that, and I was like, no, that's not going to fly when I play this game, because I wanted to test how well they wrote the story, and how well you could see the impact of your decisions later on.
Yeah, I might turn that off on episode 3 just to see how it works.
Yeah, because I think that gives you an interesting insight into how it works, because you have this kind of this notion beforehand, if you don't, this is how it's going to impact it. But if you just don't see what impact your choices have, then it's more interesting to see where they go with it.
That's a good point, actually. I didn't even consider that.
Yeah, it's like... When I saw this game, it's mostly about the choices you make when you come down to it. It's a cinematic game. It's mostly cutscenes, which is fine. I might talk about that later. But, you know, it's just kind of like, well, if it's in a D-Dog, I might as well test it out. And that's, I think Giant Bombcast, and they might have talked about that, and that's where I got the thought that it would be a good idea. But, yeah, I just decided that it might be easier, it might be easier to play the game with those on, but I wanted to critique the game.
I find it easier to play the game.
Okay.
I guess that's a good question, because I don't necessarily play with a desired result, but I don't know. I guess maybe it's just, I don't know, that's kind of an interesting point, because... You know, I didn't really consider what I had been doing, but yeah, I guess it does help shape the story, not based on how you would actually play, but how you think you want it to end.
And I think that, there's kind of this divide in choice and games. You have, like, Mass Effectian choice, which I will compare it to that, which is more of, like, are you going to be the good guy or the bad guy?
Mm-hmm.
And in this game, it's not really making... It's, like I said before, there are no right choices. It's just what life will help you sleep at night, I guess. It's not really a role-playing game. You're just trying to do what's best. It's not like, I'm gonna be the rogue, or the gallant, I don't know.
Yeah.
Good guy. It's just kind of, well, this is what I just think is right in the moment.
Yeah.
And I agree.
I think they do a better job with morality in this game than anybody else has.
Yeah, and
they don't flat out right and tell you what is right and wrong, and there's no system for determining that either. It's pretty much just what do you want to make the story?
Like, Infamous, that is why Infamous kind of sucked in that regard, where it's not, Mass Effect, where it's choose this for the good decision, choose this for the bad decision. Like, I kind of like the morality of those games boils down to a choose your own adventure novel, it seems.
Yeah, but see, I'm going to defend Mass Effect real quick.
I'm gonna defend
Mass Effect, and I'm gonna blame the players for those decisions, because I played Commander Shepard through Mass Effect 2 and 3 as I felt was the best for saving the universe, and not necessarily for what I wanted to believe was good or wrong.
Well, I will say that it is a role-playing game built upon the ideas that we saw in Dungeons & Dragons and tabletop games, where it's very systemic, and it's point-oriented, and most people do play it that way as a systemic game just because of how it communicates itself in every other aspect of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Where all the combat is systemic, when you get down to it, when you look past the polish, at least, it's systemic. And that's true of all games, but it's blatantly true in RPGs.
Yeah.
Uncharted can nasty systemic. It seems like natural, but in the end, it's all systemic. And I guess when you're looking at morality or interesting gameplay dynamics, it's all about hiding what's making up the game. And I think that's what The Walking Dead does well. It hides the fact that you're playing a game and just lets you be part of it.
Well, I mean, let's go point counterpoint on this. I mean, you slammed on Mass Effect for the fact that it felt like a storybook, but if you're not, I mean, it always goes back to how you define a game, I guess. Because I would say Walking Dead is more of an interactive story than even Mass Effect.
Well, in some ways, I mean, I was more speaking to the simplistic nature of the choices and the obvious outcome, where it's like, if you go with this guy and the mask and the hockey mask and the machete, turn to page 5, you're dead. Whoa!
Yeah.
See that one coming?
Yeah.
It's just kind of that.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Sorry.
I was gonna ask you, how do you feel about the release schedule of Walking Dead, given that when Telltale announced it was supposed to be a monthly release, and it has become anything but?
I think I am just coming into this as the Telltale defender because I'm just so proud of what they've done. So everything I say will be Telltale is doing everything right, and I will preface it that way, saying I'm biased, saying that anything I say should be taken with a grain of salt or zombie head or something. But I will say that when Telltale is basically the only company that does this kind of model, really. On large scale, they always do this. And Jurassic Park, did they ever finish that? I can't even remember. Did they finish?
I think they did.
Whoa. Like, that is just so bizarre, not even trying to, like,
yeah, I know Back to the Future. I don't remember how Back to the Future released in terms of timeliness.
Oh, jeez, I, like, completely forgot about, like, Back to the Future was good.
Yeah.
And, like,
they had a decent establishment with Back to the Future. And then they went to Jurassic Park, and I think, I haven't played Jurassic Park, but from what it sounds like they tried way too much of Back to the Future with Jurassic Park, and you can't do an adventure game with dinosaurs.
I'm just such a Jurassic Park fan. I was like, yes, Telltale. Like, I've read all the books, like, multiple times, seen all the movies multiple times, even the crappy ones with T-Rex is running down California, and, well, I think that's where it happens, I don't remember. Was it LA, I think?
I don't T-Rex. Remember was there one after the Lost World?
Lost World? You know, that movie, like, the T-Rex in the city is terrifying. I will That whole movie was just a build-up for that one terrifying idea of a T-Rex in a modern city. And it's like, oh, crap, that's awful.
Well, you know what's funny is that The Lost World is actually closer to the actual first book than the first book, than the first movie is to the first book. Which is just one of those bizarre kind of like, what? I like had like when I saw The Lost World, I was like, this is closer to the book Michael Crichton wrote that became the first movie.
Man,
what is going on? What is happening?
I'm just to end that discussion. I'm really like every time I remember Michael Crichton is gone, I just like shed a tear. Like man, that guy was the best. Anyway. Coming back to The Walking Dead after that segue, they're the only people that have done this model, and...
Successfully.
Yeah, successfully, and when they say it's going to be episodic, I don't even think of it as much of a schedule as an idea, and that idea is constant refinement. And so, if they miss a deadline, I'm more lenient because I know the reason they're missing it is for the sake of refining the game.
See, I'm not too upset about the release schedule, but what you said, the refinement aspect is what concerns me. I get nervous that somewhere down the line, it may end up changing the feel of the game because of the delay over the first two episodes. And to be honest with you, if it had ended on that with the ending to the second episode, and they had just been like, "No, there's not going to be any more after this," I would have been totally happy.
Yeah, I will say that I was listening to one of the podcasts, I think it was Game Today. Anyway, then they were talking to the writers of The Walking Dead, and you can tell that the game is, like, the entire arc of these five episodes is almost done anyway. Like, it's, they're finishing it up at, like, right now, the fifth episode. Mm-hmm. So the refinement won't be as drastic as overhauling the game, but it will be, like, just different ideas and different ways that they will change the game slightly.
Well, and the other thing to consider, too, the reason I give them a pass is I don't think they quite had in mind, I think when they started with episode 1 and 2, they kind of had an idea that people would kind of keep making similar decisions throughout each episode, and slowly discovered that people don't do that.
I will also say that it's almost kind of a Lost syndrome in a strange roundabout way, where they kind of dig this hole for themselves, and they're like, holy crap, we just, I kind of, like, lost the television series, so just dug this giant hole for itself.
Yeah, they have to write each episode. It gets more and more complex with each episode on the choices that players make, and the fact that, like, I mean, if you've seen, like, the end of each episode, it pretty much boils down to, like, five or six, I can't remember how many exactly, but core story decisions that occur throughout the game. When you start compounding the fact that you can make multiple decisions, and each decision is totally different, and you just start, they're already essentially dealing with thousands upon thousands of different stories for episode 3 alone.
Yeah, and I'm not sure exactly how it boils down, how the choices are kind of, like, congregated into, like, just basic. But I can tell that I think they knew what they were doing, but it's still harder to do than they thought. Like, I think they knew what they were doing, but it was just like, yeah, it's no matter how much we understand what we're doing, it's still hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm giving them a pass as long as it comes out in a semi reasonable schedule, at least as long as we're not waiting for like a year for episode 3.
Yeah, I don't think they'll, I don't know if like the owners of the source material, are they like whoever Image made this Image is?
I think so.
It's based on the comic, not the show, so I'm assuming the Image doesn't have that much input, but maybe they might say, hey guys, we might want to speed this up a little bit, I don't know.
I think they're pretty much, they've established that they've got a good thing going, and that I don't think too many people, or I don't think whoever's in charge of that aspect is going to push them too far.
Yeah,
because it is making money. It is a good seller, and it is a pretty popular game from what I've seen
from conversations and Twitter and on Twitter and Facebook and that kind of stuff. So I don't think they're necessarily being pressured with a release schedule for the sake of that, but I think they're being pressured with a release schedule because they made promises that they didn't quite realize they couldn't keep.
Yeah, I think there's like a million downloads and all so far.
Maybe. Which is pretty good.
I've read that somewhere. I will, when I do the show notes, I will find where I read that and maybe reference it if I remember, which I won't, so Google dies, come on.
Yeah.
But, so I guess one last thing before this ends, because I try to keep the show under an hour and like, that's fine. Like 45 minutes. Just the violence in this game, like, it's not even realistic at all, but it's one of the hardest games to play I've ever...
It is really gruesome, I agree. And there are some scenes in that I was just kind of like,
like,
wow.
The scene in episode 2 in the beginning, with his leg caught in the...
Yeah. Did you get his leg out?
Yes, I did. When he got his leg out, I amputated him.
Yeah. Yeah. You amputated him too?
Yeah, it was brutal. Like, it isn't just a clean cut. You go boom, and then you kind of have to pull it back out and then
go
back.
Yeah, I could not get his leg out. I tried so hard to get his leg out, and that's what made the decision to chop his leg off so much harder to make for me. Because I sat there and I'm like, I need to get him out. I don't want him to die. Like, I don't know who these kids are. I don't want to pick these kids up and work with these kids. And the damn bastard still died. I was so, like, just heart-wrenched because I had to cut his leg off.
Yeah, and it's like, in the episode 1, the first time you encounter a zombie, you, like, kick him in the face a few times, and then that whole encounter climaxes with a shotgun to the, like, and it's like that you're trying desperately to load the fire.
Yeah.
And it's just like, the game, when there's gameplay in it, it's... I almost wish it wasn't. It's just, like, it just adds another dimension to the whole experience besides the story of just, like, this is the reality of just the track you have to go through if this were to happen. But, so, I think in the future, if once we get this season done, I believe they confirmed season 2 of this, which I hope was a good thing. I mean, time will tell. If it can be more, I hope there would be a self-contained one season, but if they have something that is worth doing 2 seasons for, I'm happy to see it, and in the future, we might have more to talk about. So, thanks again for coming on, and I think this was a good discussion.
It was a good discussion, I agree.
Alright.